Well, next hour, we're talking demons. Oh, yes. This hour, we'll take your phone calls with Paul Gersio from the Merlin Project, Dime Tracks, and talk more with him about this when we come back on Coast to Coast AM. We are back with Paul Gersio. We're going to take your phone calls as well as we continue chatting. Paul, you did Dime Tracks with regards to President Trump's staff, and you were spot on, I would think, on all of them. And, you know,
so far, is there any of them left?
Scaramucci, gone. Spicer, gone. Priebus, gone. Steve Bannon, gone. All of Comey, out. All of them.
Vance Priebus, gone.
I've never seen anything this fast in any administration.
Well, that's because you've got, you know, Donald is not a president. Donald is a
businessman.
He's a businessman, and he was... You know, and he was a pretty good businessman. He scammed some people here and there, and Mike Bloomberg never thought much of him. But, I mean, you know, he was an okay businessman. He's not a president. He doesn't know how to do this, and he doesn't admit that he doesn't know how. So this is getting, you know, I've been enjoying what's been going on because it's a situation the likes of which we haven't ever observed in our lives.
Did you see where Roger Stone, who's been on the program a couple times with me and was a former President Trump aide,
yes,
and likes him, says that he's been slurring his words recently, and he thinks that somebody is drugging him. Not pharmaceutical drugs, but somebody is actually drugging him.
George, you know what it is? Did you notice in the last hour I had trouble with some words?
Yes.
Okay. I'll bet you've never heard that happen before.
No, you could be tired.
Okay. No, it's the result of the stroke that I had earlier in the year, and it's taken a very long time to get that ability
back. Well, you're all right.
And you know what? We should have learned something with Ronald Reagan. When we start getting into our 70s, we don't belong in the presidency. And that's what's really scary about this.
Huh.
Because, you know what? We ought to be able to run things, but not like this.
Are you saying he had a stroke?
I wouldn't. Well, I don't know if he's had a stroke.
He is slurring his words. I mean, and Roger Stone, who knows him better than anybody, says there's something going on here.
Well, let me tell you something. I grew up in New York, and I lived there for most of my early years until my middle 30s. And I've been aware of Donald Trump for many, many years and watched him. He was a very clever guy. If you listen to him speak about not much more than about 1990-ish, or maybe just a little bit beyond that, he was a different person. He had a bigger vocabulary. Tony Schwartz, who was involved in writing The Art of the Deal, says that the guy now has about 100, maybe a 400-word vocabulary, and he repeats it over and over.
Well, what happened?
That wasn't the Donald Trump that I remember, not at all. Okay, he was a very clever guy with a good twist of words and whatnot. Now there's something operating there, and I think that what it is the fact that as we get older, some of us, not all of us, you start to lose certain parts of this. You just lose it.
Hmm.
And of course, if you fall and you land on the back of your neck,
like you did,
that doesn't help at all. But I mean, just in general, I grew up in the more recent years with my father and mother, both of them with Alzheimer's, and they both lived to be in their mid 90s. My father to 97 and a half.
God love him.
My mother had gotten to the point where she was unable to carry on a decent conversation. I ran across an interesting article on online about what they had discovered
Well, in my father, while you could get your thoughts here, my father, had he not fallen, would have gone deep into his 90s. There's no doubt in my mind about that. He died at 88. He was as healthy as a horse.
Well, I'm thinking about a vitamin, a vegetable vitamin, which is coconut oil, unadulterated, pure coconut oil. If it's taken in dosages of about maybe four to six capsules a day, the equivalent of maybe two tablespoons, over a period of 4 to 6 months, it's supposed to have a tremendous effect on the ability to rebuild some of those pathways.
We've got another doctor who comes on the program, hates coconut oil.
I got to tell you something. My mother was unable to carry on a decent conversation until about maybe 3 or 4 months before she died. I had sent my father a whole bunch of coconut oil, and he put her on this diet of adding the coconut oil, and my kids, who were in their 20s and 30s, they called me up and they said, "Have you talked to your mother lately?" And I said, "No, why?" They said, "Well, she's like a different person." So I called her up. About a month before she died, I was able to carry on a one-hour conversation with her, where she was able to remember people and stories and stuff.
Sharp as a tack.
She had trouble recognizing me when I had gone down there to visit a year before.
That's amazing. All right, Paul, one quick question, then let's take calls. And the question is, with time tracks, do you see any war with North Korea?
I think we're going to get close. I think that Kim Jong-un really, really doesn't want a war so much as he wants to empower his country. And as long as he can do that, he's not stupid enough to lose everything in a war, because we'd obliterate them in no time flat. Yes, the South Koreans may end up, a lot of them may end up being victims of this. But basically, he doesn't have the capability of doing the kind of damage that we can do.
No.
I think it's more a ploy. And the problem really is we've got two crazy people running both of these countries.
That's now, Paul. Now.
You've got somebody who doesn't know how to do this because he's never done it, and somebody who grew up in an environment where he, he knocks off his uncle or his brother or whatever it is, because he
killed his half brother, we think, at the airport.
Yeah.
How
about the uncle that he turned the dogs loose?
Right, who fell asleep. There was another one who fell asleep in a meeting, and he never woke up.
I mean, but you've got that kind of thing going on, and somebody in the White House who really doesn't know how to do this. I mean, he's had no experience at all. Big mistake. Big mistake. And if they start hurling insults back and forth at each other, okay, somebody better play basketball really good, because they need to send somebody over there like Rodman, who knows how to play. Maybe he can.
That's exactly what I've proposed. And even Dennis said last week, maybe he should go there and tell him to stop with the nukes. But let's go to the calls. They're lining up here for you. Let's go to Bob in Portland, Oregon. First, Bob, welcome to the program. Go ahead.
Hi, George. You got a great show. You touch a lot of lives. I want to just say
thank you, Bob.
Thank you very much to any of the guests. You got a great personality. I love it. The only thing I don't like when you start talking politics. I got to tell you, because
George asked me before we.
I got to wheel him in myself.
Can we not talk about politics?
But you got a great person. I hope you're. I'm glad you're better from your stroke.
So I
get confused when you talk, if your opinion versus what the
time track
data says. So maybe you can be clear on it. But my comment before the question, I want to talk about natural disasters and weather, and. Bless Jim Berkland's soul, who predicted earthquakes, but he predicted them every month, and they only talk about the winners. And so I'd like you to talk about, because everybody always has great success stories, never hear the losers, and I look at statistics and standard deviations. And so with respect to, maybe you could say something now, with respect to time tracks and earthquakes and natural disasters, what kind of predictive information does this thing put out, and what can you state here now? That so I'm going to write it down because
all
I
right.
don't remember that. Honestly, I listen.
Okay, go ahead, Paul.
It's very hard to predict natural disasters. It just is.
Okay. With time tracks, you're talking about.
With time tracks, with anything. I think it's very hard to predict natural disasters because they're not organized. Okay, we're much more organized as creatures in terms of our predictability than the weather is, for instance. Look at what a terrible time they had even predicting the course that this last hurricane was even going to take. They couldn't get it right down to the hour it finally impacted. They had it coming up the East Coast and went up the West Coast. I mean that and the Europeans who have a different system weren't able to do it any much better. It's very hard to do that. What we specialize in those things that we can iron out and nail down certain dates to play with, and unfortunately, natural disasters don't follow that kind of organization. It's just very difficult to do it. If somebody comes up with a way to do that, boy, they're going to make a lot of money.
Sure.
Because that's even more impressive than some of the stuff we've been doing.
Our friend Jim Berkland, who he was just mentioning, was a geologist. He's passed away. But one of the ways he would predict earthquakes is he would look in the newspaper, and this is the time when people would put ads in newspapers, for missing animals. If they took off for the hills, he figured something's going on in that region.
That's true. Now the problem there is you need some system to keep track of missing animals.
That's right.
Otherwise it's not going to do you much good. But yes, that's true, because animals seem to be able to instinctively recognize when things are about to change that's going to put them in jeopardy, and consequently they react to it. And if you have some system for keeping track of numbers of them, you're going to be very much more successful than doing. But again, it's not related to the individual event. It's a kind of fallout from that event happening in the next week or two or three. Okay, and you're using one as a kind of finder for the other. There's no way to actually predict the event itself. You'd be able to recognize the change in weather or weather kinds of earth changes, but not in terms of the individual system itself. Now you got all faithful out there in Yellowstone, but I mean, other than that, you don't have that kind of precision. It's unfortunate. I mean, I think we've done remarkably well in predicting the kind of things that we've been looking at over the years. In terms of percentage, people say, well, you couldn't possibly be that accurate. Yes, we have been, okay, because we're very good detectives, and we keep track of a lot of information of that sort, but not natural disasters. They don't seem to follow the kind of organization that we'd like to see going on. So it's tough to do that.
Let's go to Blair, Sedona, Arizona, wildcard line. Blair, you're up with Paul Gersio. Go ahead.
Thank you very much, George. When you and Paul were talking about these old-time guys, I worked the AV board for three-time Emmy winner satirist composer Stan Freberg.
Ah.
One man in Dallas-Fort Worth in 1992, and I got to meet his best bud, sci-fi author Ray Bradbury. Very cool stuff.
Oh, my God.
By the way, Algorithm, I want you to tell me a little bit about what's happening.
I'll tell you that.
The definition. A predetermined set of instructions for solving a specific problem in a limited number of steps. What's going on with media, government, corporation, propaganda campaigns that are currently successful using specific algorithms, like the war on terror, perhaps?
There's so much going on today in terms of disturbing information that is essentially untrue. It's very hard these days to separate real information.
We've seen that.
We believed it. Now, I'm having a running argument with an old girlfriend of mine who thinks it's all fake news.
That's a problem. You know, we come up with that. And I get emails from a lot of people who think if we do a story on Bigfoot, it's fake news. And
sometimes it is.
Sometimes it is, but sometimes it isn't.
That's right. That's the part about it. Sometimes it is not.
We take tweets and texts. Tom, you got one for us. What do you have for Paul?
We have a text from Mary in Seattle. What does Time Track say about Hillary and her new book?
Well, in her new book, she's blaming everything for her loss. Paul, you looked at Hillary with Time Tracks, and it didn't look good. You were one of the few who predicted that it wasn't going to be her.
That's right, that she was going to lose.
Now, you like Bernie Sanders. Time Tracks.
You know what? I had one of your listeners write me a note tonight to mention this, and it's true. If you look at the Time Tracks I sent you, I didn't send you that many. There's about five or six total. I also included in there Bernie Sanders.
Yes, you did.
Okay.
And he keeps going.
And that's right. And you look at it, it's very high activity throughout this year and next year and the following year. And the man is already 84, 85.
Well, I was going to say
74 and 75. And he could, like my father, he could live to be in his 90s or something. Not that he's going to run for anything necessarily. But he's right now has 15 co-sponsors of a bill for universal health insurance.
Yeah.
And
heck, Jimmy Carter's eligible to run again, isn't he?
I don't think so.
He only won once.
Oh yes, he only ran one turn. That's right. He could if he can put the hammer down for a while, and he might be able to get back in line. I've always loved Jimmy Carter. I think he was.
He came in at the wrong time.
He really did, and because after what he was following was you know Nixon and then Ford, so it was understandable. And he wasn't a charismatic guy. Neither was
right. And the Iranian hostage thing did it.
Absolutely.
You know, broke his back, and then the Arab oil embargo. Remember that? Interest rates 24%.
He had a tremendous impact on the war the exchange between Egypt and Israel.
Yeah, I know.
However,
he's a great statesperson.
That's better than that has not been done in 30 years.
Yep, absolutely.
Paul,
where can people get more information? Are you up to date on the website and things like that?
Well, we're up to date on it. They can get, if you're asking me to give out information, I will do that. You want me to do so?
Sure, go ahead. We got about a minute before the break.
Okay. We have a website, and we have a lot of information at a toll free number that you can call. It's 1-866-298-7688. I'll give it to you again. 1-866-298-7688, and it'll tell you how to get in touch with us and what's available and whatnot. You can also go online, and all you really have to do is type in to any search engine Merlin as the wizard, M-E-R-L-I-N, Time Tracks, T-I-M-E-T-R-A-K-S, T-I-M-E-T-R-A-K-S, and you'll get a whole load of information on us, and we're going to stick by the availability of these Time Tracks for clients for use, because they are getting I won't mention who it is, but one of your staff members used us to sell her house and had a buyer the next couple of days after having had it on the market.
Well, that's the magic of Time Tracks. We're going to come back and wrap things up with final calls next on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back. Paul Gercio with us from the Merlin Project as we talk about things that are happening on this planet, plus your calls. Just an amazing time to be alive, Paul, isn't it?
The longer the better.
Exactly. Exactly. When you wake up in the morning, it's a good day.
That's right. You know, I read something recently that if you can remember your dreams, and I always have been able to remember them, it basically says that your brain's working pretty good.
That's right.
You'll probably be around a little longer. People who have trouble remembering their dreams at all, they said that's an indicator of a problem.
That's right.
I never knew that.
It is. Let's go to Michael, Virginia Beach, Virginia. Michael, go ahead.
Thank you so much. And Paul, is it?
Paul.
Yeah. Paul. Paul George has the most amazing memory of anybody in the media. Let me just say this. I believe that the Russians listened to your conversations with George over the years very, very closely and tried to back engineer your system. I'm going to give you a timeline which convinces me of that fact. In the year 2000, Donald Trump ran for President of the United States with the Reform Party. 4 years later, he did something which the highest-ranking Soviet official ever to defect to the United States said that the Soviets would eventually get one of our candidates to do. What did he do? He married the daughter of a former high-ranking Soviet official. This one happened to be from Slovenia. You have not given us a timeline on Melania Trump, but
you are
sitting here, and you haven't given us a timeline on Vice President Pence, but you were sitting here knowing that our intelligence community, as soon as Trump was elected, went absolutely bonkers. Why? They know something. Why did James Comey do what he did? Because both Clinton and Trump are compromised. They know it. George Norrie is the only host willing, and Art Bell, willing to host someone like a Levchenko on the show. He couldn't get on other shows. And now we are living with the ignorance that our national media has held us in, the darkness, the deliberate blindness. And so I say, God save America.
Yeah, well, you know, it's funny, right before you got on, Tom Danheiser, we got on the phone and said, please don't talk about Trump anymore. And I said, okay, I won't. You know, the thing is, both George Norrie and a lot of the staff people, one of the problems with this is that those of us who are into politics, and I admit I am, have a very hard time not relating to what's going on a daily basis. Okay, the rest of the world doesn't give a hoot about it. Okay, it's us. And the problem is, these days, we are running shows, and we're running shows with that information. I would be just as well pleased to discuss far more benign stuff than what's going on in Washington, D.C. The problem is, we're stuck with it. And unless somebody like, you know, George Norrie says, don't talk about that, I will try not to. But it's going to get in there, and you guys are going to bring it up. So it's a real problem. I was telling him right before we got on tonight that I keep getting messages from his listeners that keep bringing up three things right now: the hurricanes, Donald Trump, and the North Korean situation. That's all I'm hearing.
Three huge issues.
It's still not really anything going on.
Yep, three huge issues indeed. And I'm concerned, I really am concerned about North Korea, Paul. I'm predicting, this is me, that if he launches one more test missile anywhere, I think we're going in.
Well, I wouldn't be surprised. If, looking at that time track that you guys have that I sent you tonight, you can see the tremendous change in the trend line at the very beginning of next year. I really think he's a bluffer. I don't think he plans on actually doing anything.
Yeah.
I'm not sure that Mr. Trump does either. The problem is, we could find ourselves in the middle of the situation because we have two people who are not really good at doing this.
Well, first of all, Kim's issue is he wants to look good with his people so they don't go and get him and toss him out.
You're right.
And so he's petrified of that situation. My issue is, you've got a guy who's truly trying to develop nukes, and at the same time, he's talking about punishing us with them. That's dangerous. I mean, I don't hear the Iranians saying, we're going to blow up the United States. Even though they're working on their program, they're smarter than that.
No, we know how we got through the Cold War. It was, you know,
We know that we know there's a way to do this. The problem is the people who are running things at this point in some of the countries that we have a problem with are not in a position to be able to stop themselves. I mean, who else is left in the world who wants to do this kind of thing other than North Korea? Okay, and we were pretty safe until what's gone on this year in the presidential election.
I mean, we were concerned.
Somebody who doesn't have that experience, he doesn't have it, and you need it.
We were concerned that Pakistan and India would level each other. They're smart enough to not do that.
Exactly. So we're basically left with a very small handful of troublemakers who are not smart enough not to do that. That's where you could be right. And when I see a change in a trend line in somebody like Kim Jong-un's time track, I get really worried, because that means that the complexion of things is about to change. And I don't see the complexion of things getting a whole lot better.
No, I don't either.
It's
got to be dramatic.
In the morning when I'm busy trying to think of what the dream was last night, making sure, asking my gal, we're not at war with anybody, right? So, I mean, that's becoming a question in the morning.
If I were the president, I'd get Dennis Rodman and say, Dennis, we're getting aboard Air Force One. We're flying to North Korea. Set this up. I want a face-to-face meeting. I want you with me, and let's get this resolved. I would do that.
Smart. I can remember that when they were trying to make an arrangement to get somebody out who had been captured or put in jail during the Clinton period, maybe after the presidency, but he was still around, he went to North Korea for Kim Jong-un's father with a bunch of porn, okay, because he knew that the guy was really, really up, you know, in favor of American porn. So he went with a bunch of porn. We got the guy back.
John, let's go to Bob in Belleville, Texas. Bob, go ahead.
Hey, guys. Great listening to you. Paul, George, you're both truth seekers. That's what
we're trying, Robert.
That is true. That is true.
Both truth seekers. They're scarce.
You bet.
Listen, you mentioned earlier about the animals in an area going a little bit crazy when there's going to be an earthquake. Hey, what about a polar shift? Does that mean that we'll all go crazy before that?
Yeah, maybe so. The birds are going nuts.
Maybe we are going crazy. Have you noticed?
Yes, we have.
That may be part of the problem that we've got going on now, because there's a level of craziness going on on the planet that we haven't seen in a very long time.
It's crazy. Paul, what state do you live in?
Right now?
Yeah.
In Maine.
Okay, so you're in Maine. Have you noticed drivers are driving strangely, that
Maine, they've always driven crazy. I think Maine and Massachusetts. Well, I lived in Massachusetts for a long time, and you have to be careful when you drove in Massachusetts and Maine. So I'm not sure that that's different from usual. But I didn't grow up there. I grew up in New York, where people drive fast, but they drive well. You know, they really do. And that's not true everywhere around.
But you're right. Something's going on with people. Something's affecting them somehow.
And you must notice it in terms of the subject matters that come up and the callers.
Well, this is what I notice. I'm noticing an anger of people who are just tired of being pushed around and bullied.
And there's no patience anymore either.
There's no byplay anymore. I mean, I got a call last week from a great listener, a good guy. He's called before. He's been exemplary. Mm-hmm. And he absolutely lost it. I have gotten 52 emails from listeners who are worried about him, because he went off on a tangent about the show and about me and about our guest not getting the Bible correct. Now, first of all, that's up to interpretation, right? You read the Bible and I read the Bible, we're going to come up with two different views. And there's nothing wrong with that. That's healthy. He went absolutely crazy. And to the point where he made no sense. He's listening right now, I'm sure. And I, you know, my staff said there's something wrong with him. What's wrong with him?
Well, I you know, I've always thought that arguing about religion is useless. Okay, it's really useless. So I don't do it. But now I find myself arguing about politics, which I never did do. Never. But I never had friends all of a sudden turn. Okay, there are many people, I'm sure, among your listeners, who have friends that won't talk to them anymore.
That's absolutely right. I've got friends who are fighting over some issues to the point where they don't talk to each other anymore. And they were close.
Yep.
And they were close. You know, in the old days, you could sit in a bar and chat to the guy next to you and have a conversation regardless of you agreeing. Now, you probably get punched out.
That's right.
Back to the calls.
Or shot.
John in Toronto.
We now have Terry.
Go ahead, John.
Hello?
Yeah, go ahead, John.
Yeah. I hear all of this stuff going on, and you were a predictor at one point in time where you said that Kilroy would win the election.
Who said that?
Who would win?
I gave you that. Hillary.
Wait a minute. Who would win?
Hillary.
We never said Hillary was going to win. We were the only people I know of, and George will tell you, for the better part of 2 years, we said Hillary is not going to win. And we said she wasn't going to win back in 2008 when she was running against Barack Obama.
Right.
We said she's not going to win. And we said that all during the years that she was running.
Yep.
Okay. The night of the election, you have your name lady. I mean, that's not what she called.
The numbers lady.
You know what? Numbers lady.
Glynis McCants.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right. And we agreed at the under duress that it looked to us like Hillary just might have the edge, but we had been saying for 2 years this woman is not going to win, and she didn't. And I have people who have been sending me nasty grams on Facebook and whatnot that we predicted Hillary, and boy, were we going to be wrong. We never predicted Hillary, ever, okay? And all those years, I got my mother, who used to say, you're a Clinton person. I never voted for a Clinton. I didn't vote for Bill. I didn't vote for Hillary, okay? And it was my brother who was heavily into the Clintons.
You know, regardless of how you feel, Paul, you read the time tracks the way they are. Simple
That's
as
right.
that. You don't editorialize
and,
with
and
them.
And you understand that very often we're seeing something we'd prefer not to be seeing.
And many times, and you know, talking to you and George, you guys were uncomfortable seeing some of those things.
You bet.
Let's go to Cornelius in Louisiana. Welcome to the show. Hi, Cornelius.
Hey, George and Paul. Well, Mr. Paul, I'm the God, Guns, and Gold man, the Bible, Bullets, and Beans man.
That's who he is.
Okay. I'm the big Trump supporter. I happen to be African-American. I was a military police officer. Now, I don't know how you feel about Trump, but I personally hadn't seen nothing that he's done wrong.
Don't ask him, Cornelius, please.
But anyway, I mean, Trump's been under attack. I don't know if you know Dick Gregory. Dick Gregory was a black comedian, and he predicted
that. I know he was.
Just passed away.
Right. Yep. Now, he said Trump was going to be gone in 2 months. I saw him on News One Now. It's a show, a TV show. Anyway, and within 2 months, he passed away. So I don't know if he could do a time track on Dick Gregory and see.
Well, that's an interesting. Can you do a time track after the fact, Paul, on somebody?
Sure, you can do it. You can do it anytime, and you know why? You can do it because it's not theirs. It's everything that started at that moment, and that's maybe 2,000 other people.
All right, let's give out some phone numbers. Let me give them out for you here, Paul. There's a number to call toll-free anytime that'll give you information on more on the Merlin Project. That's 1-866, it's toll-free, 866-298-7688, 1-866-298-7688. 888-298-7688. All links are hooked up at coasttocoastam.com for you. So what's next for you, Paul? What do you do next? What's on your plate?
Well, I've been healing from a very, very upsetting year. Not only the falls and the hospitalization and whatnot, which some people say, you know, I'll tell you something. For the better part of the first week, I couldn't speak.
Well, I got to tell you, for a guy who had a stroke, you're doing pretty darn good.
I think so. I think so. And, you know, I keep telling myself, my father lived to be 97, and my mother lived to be 95, and nobody on their else in their family did, just them. And so I figured that there's got to be some good genes out there.
There sure is.
So, you know, I'm keeping
put them to work.
Fingers crossed.
Put them to work. Let's get Jeff in Juneau, Alaska. Jeff, we only got a minute left, but let's squeeze you in. Go ahead.
I was just praying that God would see me through what he did.
He did. I had a vision, yeah. And he told me to take the call.
Hey, put the Wayback glasses on, and you'll remember. Paul, when you were on the show, just I believe it was either the night of the election or just before,
right?
This time, I got through and I asked you a specific question. My birthday is November 8th, 1960. I was born on the Tuesday night that John F. Kennedy beat Nixon in that election.
Wow!
Oh yeah.
And we talked about it, and I asked you, did you run a time track on November 8th? Because that's the beginning of the administration for Trump and all the other November 8th. There's only a few of them. There's only like 10 of them.
Well, we're gonna do that, Jeff. We'll do that, and the next time Paul's back, we'll go through some of that, because that's great timing, to be sure. Okay, up next, we're going to talk about demons. Paul Gersio, thank you so much for being on the program. Continue to heal, my friend. You're doing remarkable. We'll be back in a moment on Coast to Coast AM.